Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday style, the 27th of May, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We open the show wondering why Harvard University should not be penalized by the Trump White House for not properly dealing with campus anti-Semitism. CBS News senior White House reporter Jennifer Jacobs also weighed in on that escalating battle between President Trump and Harvard. And Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by with all the latest in the contentious negotiations going on in the waning days at the state capitol. And I have a wish here. Could we please, and I understand it's a emotional subject that probably should be discussed, but could we please stop treating Harvard and Harvard University like it's the center of the universe? Could we stop that? Do you think that might be a good idea? Could we please stop crying and sobbing? Now, yes, the White House and the Trump administration are battling with Harvard. That's fine. In fact, that's good. That's very good that that's going on, because it puts the spotlight, apparently, on a problem that a lot of schools have that they don't want to confront. Now, can you imagine? Let me just ask you something. In this year of our Lord, 2025, in the present day here, if you had a school that of its own admission through an internal report had problems with the way African-American and Latino students were being treated, if you had a school through its own reporting picked up by other sources in the media and a presidential report said, hey, you know, you've got a problem here as to how Muslim students and Muslim faculty members, and in fact, a lot of people at school, at your school, are being treated here. Would you say that's a problem? Especially if you are, you know, among those groups, if you consider yourself a part of those ethnic groups, whether you do or not, wouldn't you say, wouldn't common sense tell you that if numerous reports here, and if you'll notice, because I've talked about this, and you have numerous people who work for these schools or used to teach there or used to go there saying, hey, yeah, this school has a problem, wouldn't you think that's serious? Would you still be going nuts and ape crazy if you had a university losing its federal money or having that money withheld because they're apparently not doing anything? Well, of course you wouldn't. I wouldn't. But for some reason, we have dubbed Harvard, oh my God, he's withholding money from Harvard. Guess what? 99% of America doesn't care. Those 99% of Americans probably saying, well, why doesn't Harvard clean up its act? And I know people are saying, well, there's wonderful research done at Harvard. All right, I'm not doubting there is. But you know what? There's wonderful research done at a whole bunch of other schools. Yale, Johns Hopkins, UPenn. There are. I don't know how I can break it to you folks, or some of you out there. There are other good schools outside the Ivy Leagues. I know, but see, this is why D.C. is going nuts over this. It's like Santa came and stole all their Christmas morning toys, because D.C. is swamped with Ivy League people, whether it's the courts, whether it's the administrative branches on both sides. You know, the Ivy Leagues are the gas station of D.C., which is fine. I'm sure they're smart people, but could we please, can we please, for the love of God, stop this collective browbeating and sobbing because Harvard may lose its money and Harvard may lose its foreign students. So what? Not that many people care. And if Harvard doesn't want to lose that money, and if Harvard doesn't want to lose those foreign students, maybe they can work with the White House and actually do some things to, counteract what a lot of people say including people who used to teach there and go there, say it's a big problem here. Now, again, I will ask my question, what are they so afraid of? I don't know. But you tell me, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Is this a bad thing or a good thing? Do you think the White House and the Trump administration and people associated with him should hold back federal money from schools that don't do enough in their minds to combat anti-Semitism? Because you know damn well that if this was pervasively anti-Muslim, if this was pervasively anti-black, if this was pervasively anti-Hispanic, if this was pervasively anti-Indian, people would be going bananas here, and as rightfully as they should. But because it's Trump, and because it's largely aimed at Jews, everybody's going nuts. Now, when we come back, there is a paper trail here. I will tell you what Harvard's own study, an internal study, found. So apparently, Harvard is admitting they have a problem, but yet they've kind of been throwing their arms up in the air as to what they're going to do about it. So do you think they should be entitled to all this federal money if they're willingly not trying to fix this? If they're willingly not trying to make this better, then you know what? To Harvard, love you. Been there a few times. Have done play-by-play involving your teams. But you know what? Too bad. And look, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that you should not go to Harvard. You shouldn't be proud if you went to Harvard, or you had relatives who went to Harvard, or if you have sons or daughters or grandkids or grandsons or stepkids or the kid next door just got in Harvard. I'm not saying that. I'm sure there's fine academia that goes on there. But can we please relax here? Well, President Trump shouldn't be doing what he's doing to Harvard. Well, maybe. I mean, you've read the reports out there. Harvard itself admits that they've got a problem. That's not being concocted. They themselves admit they have a problem. And they say they're trying to combat it. The White House says, you're not. So is President Trump right or not to claw back just about all the federal money there to use that as a way to get Harvard to get its act together? Well, Paul, that's blackmail. Well, maybe it is. Sometimes blackmail works. And again, I ask the question, what if all the allegations, never mind all of them, what if half of the allegations, two-thirds of the allegations, what if... Though a smidgen of those allegations were true, if they were projected tragically at black people, black students, or Hispanic students, you don't think there'd be a lot of people going, yeah, the White House, either under Mr. Trump or anybody else, would be correct in clawing back that money? Of course they would be, and of course they would be saying it. But again, A, because it's Trump, and B, because it's Jews, and the Zionists, there's this double standard. I'm looking at a summation of the report right here, dated April 29th. It was, about 3 weeks ago. Harvard pledges reforms following internal reports on anti-Semitism and anti-Arab bias. By the way, why are they admitting students who do this? You notice how this isn't a problem on the vast, 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 vast majority of college campuses in this country? You notice that? Or should I say, do you not notice it? Because it doesn't happen. Which leads me to think, don't you think that there are some untawdry types who know they can get away with this on some, not all, on some college campuses. I'm not saying every campus is pure as the driven snow. But listen, you may disagree with Trump for as long as the day is on this, but this is a good thing. Don't you think? I think it is. Because it puts this now out in the open. Well, Paul, what about the medical research that goes on at Harvard? Okay, there are a lot of other colleges that have really good med schools. If you go to a doctor and you get a doctor who's a really good either GP or a specialist or somebody treating your disease, do you care where their diploma's from? Honestly, do you care? You want a good doctor, so please, can we please, for the love of sweet Jesus or whoever you pray to, can we stop deifying Harvard? Yes, it's a fine university. Been following it for years. When I was up at BU, I used to hop on the Boston Mass Transit there. I used to hop on the Red Line, go across the water sometimes, walk around Harvard Square. In Cambridge there, I went to all the Harvard museums there. It was great. But as I recall, late 70s and early 80s, there probably wasn't a time where they were being nasty, you know, to Jews and a lot of other people. And I would say it whether it was any other ethnic group. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And just admit it, if it was a president anything other than Trump, people would be applauding in the streets. This they would. They would. They would. Well, what's the problem with Harvard, Paul? Well, let me read you a couple of quick bullet points here. And if you think this is wrong, which I don't, the holding back of federal money, well, you know, you can, well, we can discuss that. But you know what else? Sometimes, what's that old phrase? Fear is life's greatest motivator. And Harvard says, well, we're going to try and clean it up. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You own the place. You're the bosses. Harvard President Alan Gerber calls the 23-24 academic year, quote, disappointing and painful for extremism and discrimination at the university. Well, President Gerber, with all due respect, sir, never met you. I'm sure you're a good guy. You don't get to that level of professionalism without having some chops. Whose fault is it? Don't you love these academics? Well, we failed, and we're going to try better. Yes, we will. Oh, spare me. You're either going to get it done or not. And this all ties into the foreign students thing, too. Why? If Donald Trump, I'm asking you a serious question here. If Donald Trump or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama had said to a school, listen, you're not getting your act together, so you can't have any more foreign students there. Who cares? Well, Paul, the best and the brightest come to America to learn and to experience and drink in all the wonderful academia. Good. There's about 3,000 other schools they can go to. Don't think it's any sort of coincidence here that some of these rabble-rousers pick the Ivy League schools. They pick the soft targets sometimes, not all the time. They know what they're doing here. Well, you know, he might not let any more foreign students go to Harvard. Guess what? No one cares. I'm sorry. No one outside of Cambridge cares. Nice city. Like I said, been there a number of times. Great little shops there. Love the Harvard museums. I love academia. But could we please pump the brakes on this just a little bit? That's all I'm asking here. Do you care? Honestly. Why should we care that a school that admittedly, nobody's making this up, a school that admittedly is having a problem dealing with anti-Semitism, dealing with cultures of oppression of that school, and any White House is saying, well, you know what, until you really clean this up, forget the foreign students and you know, forget all our money. Are you okay with that? I am. Because frankly, I don't know about you, there are a lot of other really good schools in America and all over the world. So I'm begging you, now do you think I'm wrong? You think I'm being a jerk here? Please tell me and we'll discuss. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And when we come back, I'll give you some of the stuff. And see, a lot of the media is not reporting this. I will give you a couple of the bullet points that Harvard even admits to that they can't get their arms wrapped around because their school is in some way, shape, or form out of control. Speaking about the Trump White House thing in Harvard, and you may be an observer of this or have a relative or friend or loved one who went to Harvard or is going to Harvard, we're joined now by CBS News senior White House reporter Jennifer Jacobs on this Harvard-Trump showdown. Jennifer, good afternoon. How are you? Never a dull day covering this stuff. Huh?
That's very true. And this has been a very newsy topic, the administration's efforts to go after Harvard, correct?
Yeah, and here is, you know, this, I guess, now we're in Connecticut, so my friends at Yale down the street would argue, but there are people here who say, well, this is the number one university technically in the country, I guess the oldest one. So the fight is being picked. Why? Does Mr. Trump think that not enough is being done about this harassment on campus?
That's right. So a White House spokesperson has said that the recent events at Harvard have involved some anti-Semitic actions that makes the Trump administration believe that they have turned a blind eye to the safety and concern and well-being for Jewish students. And they feel like Harvard's inaction in certain cases repeatedly has led to the harassment and targeting of students mm-hmm. that at times has caused these students to feel unsafe on campus or has not allowed them to get their education. And they feel like this has just been alarming to the public in general. So as you know, this has been going on for months. Yeah. They feel like Harvard has failed to crack down on these anti-Israel protests that led these students to face violence and to feel unsafe.
And finally, Jennifer, it's odd because it's not like the president of Harvard is completely pushing back here. If I tell people, read what the guy says, he pretty much has admitted kind of like, yeah, we have a problem here.
You're right, Paul. Alan Garber, who is Jewish, has apologized in the past for the way Harvard has handled some of the anti-Semitic incidents on campus. And he has said himself, I have experienced anti-Semitism at the school.
Wild. Jennifer Jacobs, CBS News senior White House reporter. Jennifer, thank you. Have a safe and happy day. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. There you have it. Here she is, the woman we can't wait to chat with every Tuesday right around this time because she reads almost every line of almost every bill she can get her hand on, and she watches CTN on 14 different screens and her phones. Megan Portfolio, she writes the Hartford Portfolio blog at the Yankee Institute. Good afternoon, Ms. Portfolio. Have your eyes glazed over yet?
Oh, when is it June? I just want it to be June 4th at 12:01 a.m. because that means it's all over and I can have a normal life again.
All right. So I hear I've been told by a couple of people blowing up my phone that there may be a vote on this housing bill, this bill, Megan, that I'm reading aspects of, and my callers are calling up going, where? What? What did you say? I said, well, there it is, right?
Yeah, I'm still digesting it because it's the end of the session, so yeah. Now it's time to play our fun little game mm-hmm. where we take a one-page bill with 10 lines, turn it into 92 pages.
Yeah.
And then want to go vote on it.
And
that's
and
what happened last week.
And folks, Megan is not kidding on this. This housing bill, as you point out, Megan, started literally at about a half page, right, and 10 lines, mm-hmm. and now it's what, 92 pages?
Yeah, so it was 10. It was 10 pages, and then you know last week. So I actually do really appreciate this with the House. They actually have a press conference before every time they go into session,
yeah,
kind of giving the reporters sure. and the public like an idea of what they're going to vote on that mm-hmm. day, and it's really, really helpful. The Senate, on the other hand, it's a big freaking mystery, but. So all last week, the reporters are asking House Speaker Ritter and Rojas.
Softball questions.
When's the housing bill coming?
Yeah, softball.
And then on, I believe it's Wednesday. Okay, we're going to do it on Thursday. So on Wednesday, that's when they decided to drop this 92-page gargantuan on us. Like, nobody can, I'm still actually digesting it because today, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say today, but last night they dropped another amendment on it, which was about 13 pages, but it doesn't really tell me what it's changing. So it's really giving me a headache. I'm trying to figure out what they took out, and they're debating it right now.
Yeah.
So they're literally going to vote on a bill. Like, I haven't even really put it all together. The lawmakers haven't put it together. There's no way the general public, who has like actual real jobs that they're working at,
and Megan, you and I have been telling people this for years. This is done on purpose. This is not by accident. The Democratic majority in Hartford delay. Oh, here's the bill. But wait a minute, we have to vote on this in 10 minutes. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they blame the Republicans for trying to run down the clock, but it's to call it poor policymaking, it does an injustice. Like, this is not how you do policymaking.
No.
You don't go behind closed door. Like, it's like a game. Like, they're trading things, and they're taking stuff from this bill, taking it from it's a huge Frankenstein bill right now that the House is going to be voting on, that's going to completely overhaul all the local control in our state. I mean, it's I think it's up to like 40 sections, 40 some odd sections. Last I looked, there's 42 amendments on it. This is going to be an all-nighter. I'm not looking forward to
good.
It.
I hope the Republicans, now I don't want you to have to stay up to where your dog's looking at you going.
Yeah, but I have to.
Yeah, I know.
Because, you know, I don't know what they're going to like slip in, or, you know, which strike all amendment they're going to come up with at like, you know, 2 a.m. And then all of a sudden it's a completely different bill.
And
behind the people's back.
Yes. And my favorite is always Megan. And the guest is Megan Portfolio, Yankee Institute. Is my favorite is always shall versus will. Right. Don't you love those words?
Shall versus may. Because may is an option. But if you ever see the word shall in a Connecticut bill, it means you have to do this or else. And then you have these people that are creating these things. These aren't housing experts.
No,
that's planning and zoning experts.
Kills me.
And that's fine. And I'm not an expert on everything. I have to call on experts, but I'm not the one sitting here putting a 92-page plus 13-page amendment bill that I'm voting on and not giving anyone time. Like, people are basically voting on this bill that I have absolutely no idea what's in it.
See, this is, and every time I mention this, Megan, I get yelled at, and you're probably going to yell at me when I say it again, but go ahead. This is why
I'm actually going to agree with you on this, I'll get yelled at with you. I know what you're going to say.
Maybe a full-time legislature without these ridiculous, asinine cutoff dates. Maybe that's the better option. Maybe it is.
Yeah, full time where they actually, I'm actually kind of over. So I watch a lot of this stuff. I know your listeners are a lot cooler than I am, so they're actually watching fun things. I can't tell you how many committee meetings I have watched, and there's three people in the room, and everyone else is Zooming.
I know.
I can't tell you how that infuriates me. Like, get your butt there, go collect your whatever 52 cents a mile that you get paid to drive to work, and get your butt. And I know a lot of times they can't show up because they do have other jobs.
Sure,
having a full-time legislature could slow things down a little bit, so they're actually having thoughtful policy and not. And this is the new standard now, by the way. These omnibus bills, they have it with our energy bill this year. I don't know what the final product's going to look like. They claim they're going to be lowering our rates. I don't know if they're going to lower rates.
I'm sure.
I don't really know if I've seen the final product.
Yeah.
They're doing it with housing. They're doing it with education.
Yeah.
They've done it with environment. They wait to the end and then they take parts and pieces from other bills, Frankenstein it together, and then they vote on it. No one knows what's going on because we can't follow it because we're not privy to it,
now,
especially in the Senate.
Did I read, Megan Portfolio, that they're trying to figure out a way, it's one of my favorite terms from my late aunt, finagle. Are they trying to finagle the Democratic majority into allowing striking workers to tap into the unemployment fund after 2 weeks? And did I read where, like, it's not technically the unemployment fund? Have you heard or seen anything on that?
So I believe it was, you know, last week. No, I think it was the beginning of last week during one of those press conferences. Speaker Ritter did talk about trying to come up with, again, this is all behind our back. We're not privy to the actual details, mm-hmm. but the House Democrats are trying to finagle some kind of slush fund.
Yeah.
That was what I was able to glean from the conversation. However, Governor Lamont last week at a different press conference was asked about it,
yeah.
if he had any interest in it. Yeah. And he basically just said no.
No.
And that was it. And it's interesting because, and I'm really happy for Pratt & Whitney and the workers. They were able to strike a deal. I don't, obviously don't want to see people not working that want to work. So they were able to strike a deal today. I think they've been out over 2 weeks, which is what they're looking to pay striking workers. If you're over 2 weeks, mm-hmm. they're looking to pay you.
Yeah.
Well, how funny is this? They were able to resolve this without having to pay striking workers.
Well, yeah.
They had, I know the union had their own strike fund, and they were also taking donations,
mm-hmm.
and they were also negotiating, and this was all done without having to overburden our unemployment system
yeah.
to pay workers who chose not to work.
Well, listen, I will bid you good luck for this evening.
I only have, thanks to Scott Pearson, he recommended this Eagle Rare bourbon, and it's delicious, but I don't even want to waste it on tonight with this nonsense going on, because I'm not in a good bourbon mood.
Megan Portfolio, folks, wishing she could sip bourbon tonight while she's watching all of this for us. I don't go to bed till like midnight or 1 o'clock, so if you need to text me and vent, I'll be there, okay?
Oh, you expect a text.
all right, Megan Portfolio, check it out, The Hartford Portfolio, the Yankee Institute. Megan, stay away from all open flames, and I'll chat with you later.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. There you go.